All right. So once again, thanks so much for joining us. This is Kristen Rodriguez again with the Health Plan Alliance, and I'm leading today's working group call. We brought this group together because following the first session that we did about 2 weeks ago with Shelley Stevenson from Change Healthcare regarding the new Medicare Advantage, the Medicare ID cards and the implications for Medicare Advantage plans, a number of plans expressed interest in trying to share resources and trying to, leverage one another's efforts to make sure that we're fully prepared for all of the implications that are sure to come our way as it starts to roll out. So this is not a webinar. I do not have a presentation today. We don't have a formal moderator, so I am it. I am your host, and this is absolutely a working group call. So, again, I encourage folks to pop off the mute button and just jump in and share with one another. So what I think is a great way to start off with first, just to kind of establish, what is it that we're doing on the phone together here? What are the goals of this next hour together? And I think really where we are right now is new information is coming out all the time. And Shelley, indeed, almost every day since the call that we hosted with her about 2 weeks ago, she sends me additional information as she comes across it. And so we continue to add resources to the event page from the webinar that we did with her 2 weeks ago. So I think that's my first action item is for folks who maybe didn't attend that event and maybe just heard about it, or maybe you saw it, the recording after the fact, new resources continue to get posted there. And in fact, in just a moment here, I'm going to grab that link and post that to the chat box. That way, if anyone's not sure where that is, you can find it. It's on the January section of our calendar. And this group, I think what would be a great thing is if we can kind of go around the room, so to speak, virtually, and if folks are able to share which plan you're with, of course, and then maybe very quickly which role you're in, because there's a number of different folks on the call today coming from different parts of the plan. And then what we're hoping will come out is if folks mention, hey, we're really worried about X, and, we're trying to figure out, what we need to put in place. If you find that you've figured that out already, or you might have a suggestion for them, then that's your opportunity. This is your moment to jump off mute and say, oh, yeah, we had the same conversation, and this is what we're working on. If someone has developed a tool, say, for example, you've developed a checklist, or you've, sat down with your regional office, and you've kind of developed a work plan in some way, or if you've already been developing letters or communications to providers or members or scripts for your call center staff, all of this stuff is fair game, so to speak, and we would really love it if folks are willing and able to share that information. And you can email it to me directly, and I'm happy to post that on your behalf. And I also will show everyone where you can actually just start posting it directly on the member site as well. So I also do have the chat box open here. So if we have any folks on the call that are maybe a little shy and aren't maybe willing to speak up or ask a question, they want to be more of a listener, that's completely fine. I have the chat box open, and I'm monitoring that, and you're welcome to post questions there. So feel free to leverage that tool. So let me pause there, and let me check in with the group to ask, does that, as far as the format of the call and what we're hoping to get out of it, does that make sense for everyone? Is anyone else coming to the call and thinking, oh, man, I really wanted us to do X, and I haven't said that yet? So now's your moment if you'd like to put something else on our agenda or a different focus. All right, I'm getting validating messages in the chat that this sounds like a good plan. All right. Okay. So with that, then let me just do one little housekeeping item while everyone's still fresh. It looks like we have maybe two people listening on audio that aren't on the visual, and it looks like everyone else is on the visual. For just a moment here, I am going to do a little screen share. This will take me all of 4 minutes to do, and I think it'll be so helpful for everyone who wants to share material. It will allow you to go ahead and do that without having to use me as your unnecessary go-between. So can anybody come off mute and tell me, yes, I can see your screen, Kristen, your screen share works?
Yes, Kristen, we can see your screen.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I need validation. Thanks, guys. So right now I'm on the calendar page, and I'm going to jump over to member resources. And in our Knowledge Center link, we have a link here for share a resource. So any one of you, once you're logged in, this is open to you. So simply go to this page, and this is assuming, again, that you have a tool that you are willing to share with your Alliance member. So this is my personal screen, and so it shows things that I have shared as an individual user on our website. Yours will look a little different. You won't have the same list on yours. But a couple ground rules for folks to know and reminders. Anything that you share on the Alliance member website is protected information. Only Alliance member health plans are able to log in and view it. Vendor audience cannot log in and view it. A public audience that's doing a Google search can't log in and view it, cannot download it. So it really is only your Alliance peers that are allowed to access this material. Of course, we at the Alliance expect that you're only uploading materials that are appropriate, i.e. not violating HIPAA regulations and the like. We have a bunch of really amazing legal jargon down here in the terms of use. So for anyone who really wants to read that, all of it's spelled out there, that we're assuming there's no vulgarity being shared. We're assuming there's no protected health information being shared, and it's all operational focused materials. So I will leave it to you to read that terms of use on your own time. How you use this is once you get to your screen, again, you won't have the same list that I have here, but you will click Add Document. And once you click Add Document, it takes you to a really simple form. And basically, you choose the file you want to upload. You can upload any format. If you have an Excel, PDF, Word, doesn't matter. You can upload any format. And then you just start filling out the fields. The ones with a star next to them, of course, are required. Everything else, I hope you will fill out, but obviously you don't have to. The abstract is, I think, the most important, not required field. This is a brief sentence. What the heck is this document, right? Like, this is a call center script that was developed by Paramount Health Plan in order to support call center staff and fielding questions regarding the new HICN, you know, whatever it might be. And then once you are done, you hit upload, and that's it. You shared it with the members. It's there. It now exists in our knowledge center. And then the Alliance staff will curate all that information, and we can send out, you know, a collection of it to everybody that's on this call. We can curate it together so that you'll get a nice list of everything that was shared. You don't have to go find it. We will curate that for you. But if you do have something that you're willing to share, any type of tool or support thing that you've developed for your own team that's not strategically sensitive or has PHI in it, then I hope that you'll consider using this link to upload the file. It's a much more efficient way than just simply emailing me directly. This puts it right up on the site very quickly. Does anyone have any questions about this or concerns? All right. Hearing none, I will exit my share. So that was the end of the visual thing. For those of you who are on audio only, the key takeaways are you log in, you go to the member resources, hover over Knowledge Center, and there's a link where you can share a resource. And so that's where you can upload any tool that you've developed. So that was my one little housekeeping how-to I wanted to do at the top of the call. So now what I'd love to do is really just go around the room. We have about 16 people on the call, so it's a small enough group that we're able to do this. And this is your chance. This is your chance to ask your peers, you know, what are you doing about this? Who can help me with this? You have 15 other consultants on the line with you, and so let's use the time well. So with that, I'm just going to start at the top because I have a list of everyone who's on the audio, and I'm just going to start there. So, Andrea Hess, you're at the top of my list.
Hi.
Hi there. Welcome to the call. So can you tell us which plan you're with, what group you're in operationally, and what you'd like to get from the call?
Sure. So I'm with Geisinger Health Plan. I am with the actuarial reporting area. And just interested to hear how people are going to work with the Crosswalk file, how they're going to store it, and where they're going to place the MBI in their systems.
Great, thanks. Any feedback from other folks on the line? Anyone else have the same question? Okay, we're going to circle back to that one. This call only works if everybody contributes, so get out of listening mode, everybody. We're going to go down to Angela Keenan. You're next on my list.
Hi, this is Network Health, and we don't have any questions.
You guys are listeners today, Angela?
We are.
Okay, got it.
Thank you.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Brian Ingham, you're next on my list. All right, moving on to Chelsea Weiser.
Hi, I'm with Providence Health Plan, the Medicare Compliance and Quality Examiner for our operations area, and just listening in today.
Okay, any specific questions or things that you're curious about?
Curious about the crosswalk file as well.
Okay.
And also if any scripting anybody wants to share as well for their call center.
Gotcha. Okay. Anybody have any responses on those two topics? Is anyone working on anything? All right, you know what? We're going to go about this a little bit differently. Who has something that they're willing to share with the group on the line? Who's done something that they're like, yes, we figured this part out. We have a plan. Anybody?
Hi, this is LaToya with Paramount Health Insurance in Ohio.
Hi there, LaToya.
Hi, Kristen. I can just tell you kind of what our process is for tackling this implementation. So we meet regularly once a week with various departments, and we're kind of a little bit behind, but we're working on a formal communication to our vendors just to let them know of our process. And we've determined, which is kind of parallel to what CMS has said, that we would, in our systems, we're just going to replace in the same field in our claims processing system where we once hold the HICA number. We're just going to replace that same field with that of the NBI. So in regards to communication, you know, to some of our vendors, it's going to be pretty much seamless because for the next year, it's going to be a mixture of the two numbers, but we just want to let them know that we will be replacing it within that same field. So there, in our data exchanges, there wouldn't be any additional work that would need to be done to those extracts in regards to, like, adding a new field at the end or something like that. It's going to stay in that same field. And we're going to keep the historical HICN. So right now we're able to hold, I think, two, and then when the NBI comes in, that'll be the third and final placeholder that we have. So if anyone could give us some feedback, we do have one question that we submitted to CMS in regards to the NBI. So we know the NBI is going to be unique moving forward and hopefully only assigned once in their lifetime, but in some situations, whether for whatever reason, they may have to be issued a new NBI. And so right now, as I mentioned, we can only hold three member identifiers. So if by chance they happen to be issued a second NBI, we just wanted to know the rules on that. Like, would it be a complete replacement, or would we have to still retain that initial NBI for purposes of being associated with claims, or would at the CMS level, would they kind of like wipe it out and then kind of crosswalk it within their system so we wouldn't have to retain that? So that's one of the things that we're working on. I'm still waiting for feedback from CMS on that, because then that'll determine how we're going to have to do some programming internally.
LaToya, thanks so much for jump-starting the sharing. I think it's a fantastic question. Does anyone have any thoughts on that specific question from Paramount regarding the programming piece there?
So this is Andrea from GHP. I just want to say thank you for sharing that. I think preliminarily we have kind of the same plan, but I think our issue is we don't have space in the core system to store that extra identifier. So I think what we're talking about doing is kind of in our data sets, keeping copies of the crosswalk table and being able to join to it to get to all of the historical numbers. So kind of adding, we're going to put the actual NBI in the HICN field, but then we're going to keep a copy of the crosswalk out there should we need it for future. That's kind of what we're tossing around right now.
So rather than adding an additional field, you're kind of overwrite the data and then have a crosswalk that lives outside the system. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that's what we're thinking about, just because we aren't sure that we have the fields to hold the additional ones directly in the admin system.
Yeah, that's a great question. Patrick had a quick chat that he mentioned. He said, you know, I wonder to what extent it helps to understand which claim systems folks are using. And I guess just more generally for the group, you know, is this problem of the limitations that the claim systems are able to accommodate this additional field? Is that a problem everyone's bumping against? Is that just doing the programming just to be able to accept it?
Yeah, so at GHP, that's definitely our issue. And we're currently on Amethyst getting ready to move to Facet next January.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hi, this is Patrick with Providence. And we are on Facet's claim chain system, and TriZetto that produces the system has created updates for it. Essentially what we'll do is that we will use the current Hicken field to hold the MBI, and then the MBI is going to be transferred over to a new table that TriZetto has created. That table is built, so I don't know what the limiting number is on it. We anticipate it should be big enough to handle any of those changes. And what it will do is we'll start off with the original Hicken number, and then as MBI changes are made on a member, those two, the older one will be moved over and the new one will be put back into that Hicken field that is currently available. So once you change out of Amethyst into Facets, you should be in good shape.
Well, that's great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, this is Select Health. My understanding is that functionality is not available right now, though. We're looking at having to potentially we're basically going to create an external database, dump all of those Hickens in, and then be able to load them into Facets later in the year. But I might be mistaken on those dates.
Yeah, what's happening is that the update, so 5.4.4, I think it is, release 4, will have those fields and tables available to them. And so part of our process of getting ready for this is to make certain that we are up on that version of Facet so that we can utilize it. Prior versions, if you're not on the most current version, then you're right. You probably don't have that ability at this point.
This is Network Health. We're utilizing QNext, which is also a TriZetto platform. And we also have another product of theirs called EAM. And they have built-in functionality where they'll load in the crosswalk through EAM and pass that information into the same field in QNext. So that's our plan.
Thank you for sharing. This is Kristen again with the Alliance. So it's sounding like, if anyone correct me if I have this wrong, it's sounding like for the folks that are using the TriZetto products, that TriZetto is trying to at least be in step with this, if not out ahead of it, at least in step with it. Is that a fair assessment? Is anyone having a different experience with TriZetto, that it's just not, there's really not anything that's workable there? It sounded like, Caleb, maybe you guys are, if I caught that right.
I'm sure it's just we're not implementing the new version as soon as it's available. That's what it sounds like.
Mm. Gotcha.
But we have a workaround that's going to work for us.
Okay. Are there others in the line that their system, that the, you know, the vendor partner of the system is not an option, so there's nothing but a workaround? Is that where folks are on the line, is just trying to work through, you know, is it just another spreadsheet somewhere, et cetera, et cetera? Is that dominating a lot of the conversations internally? Okay.
So this is Andrea from GHP again, and I want to say, yeah, that's definitely a concern. I think the other concern is, as the crosswalk files come in, what they're going to look like and what the, I guess, monthly versions are going to look like, and making sure we can roll all that together and that the information is going to be good when we get it. I think that's a big concern.
Yeah, absolutely. My understanding on that is that CMS is pushing out the crosswalk that's going to include both living and deceased members. So I think just – I'm sorry? Nope, that was probably a mute fail. Okay, so I think that just that one element there, you know, means that there's a ton of data that's not necessarily needed at this point that has to get sorted through. So while folks were sharing, I just wanted to direct everyone's attention to the chat box and let you know that I posted a few links for you so that way you wouldn't have to go find this stuff. I posted a link to the January call. So there's a recording there where Shelley Stevenson from Change Healthcare, if you weren't able to be on that call, it's absolutely worth listening to the recording. It was phenomenal. She fielded a ton of questions from people, and we got all of that on the recording. And so you can actually hear a lot of Q&A from other member plans that were asking a lot of questions that are coming up today. So that's a great one. And then in addition, there's five or six different resources that she shared out that we've been posting to that event page. So there's just a lot of material there on that first link. The second link is the next call where we have Shelley coming back, and that'll be in May, so right following the initial rollout and updates, you know, where CMS is fine-tuned, et cetera. So that's one I would encourage everyone to register for as well. And then finally, I put a link out to today's call so that if there's anyone that, you know, made a really smart point and you want to connect with them offline, you can go to that attendee list and you have everyone's contact information there at your fingertips. And so I encourage everybody, if maybe there wasn't a question that that you were able to get out to the group and you want to send that follow-up, you're able to, you know, check in on individuals and reach out to them privately, and you can do that via direct email or phone. Or, of course, you're welcome to continue the thread that we started on the discussion forum and posting your questions out to the larger peer group. So the conversation does not have to stop on today's call. So who else haven't we heard from? Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. This is Patrick once again, and it was pointed out to me by one of my coworkers that I actually used the wrong release number. So for those people that are on facets and looking at it, it actually is 5.4 release 5, not release 4. So just clarification. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick.
I believe the release 4 also does allow you to use the MBI.
Release 4? I'm sorry,
yeah,
who was that?
This is Gerald Axford, Presbyterian Health Plan. I believe Release 4 also allows you to use the MBI.
Okay. Okay, great. Thanks, Gerald. All right. Who else haven't we heard from? Anyone else have a question for the group? Want to put it out there?
I have just a general question. I think when we were sitting on one of the CMS user calls, maybe the one last week, they mentioned that new members after April 1st may still receive a HICN. Did anyone interpret
that
the same way? Okay.
Yeah.
Because on this platform and in others, I've been hearing that, you know, as of April 1st, you know, they should get an MBI. But I think CMS said that, in fact, they may get a HICN and then phase in the MBIs throughout the remainder of that year.
Yeah, I remember that. We noted that in the room also because I had multiple people in the room with me, that was a transition from what we had previously heard.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure I wasn't hearing things, but I thought that was the case. Okay.
One of the questions that came up in my working meetings was wanting clarification on whether CMS, when they send over the original, the primary, or the first crosswalk, will it be in the entire crosswalk or the entire population of staff that are, members that have HICN and MBI? So will it populate all the MBI, or will those come in a phased approach?
I think it's phased from my understanding. They'll send what they have at that moment, but it's definitely a phase then. So we wouldn't get a dump of 100% of our population with an MBI at once. I know, I think it was here with Health Plan Alliance too, because they're not issuing them based off of demographics or geography, if you will, to not overwhelm the post office with mailing out new member IDs as well. So it's definitely going to be a much more random transition. So I would anticipate it truly being a whole year before we are 100% MBI. If anyone else has any other ideas on that, please correct me if I'm wrong.
I did see elsewhere that it was geographic by state in waves, but they kind of only clumped it into two categories, like starting April and then after,
yeah.
I want to say, several months
yeah.
after that, just the two categories.
Who was that just shared?
Oh, Chelsea from Providence.
Thanks, Chelsea. Just trying to, it helps all of us when we start matching voices to names and then eventually to faces. It's just wonderful to be able to do that, so thank you.
Sure.
So I'll ask a question. This is LaToya with Paramount again. Has anyone already begun communicating this change with impacted vendors? And if so, what was their response to your suggested process? Because we've yet to send out the communication. We're planning on doing that in about a week, but we just kind of wanted to know if there was, like, a lot of backlash or them offering their potential process, you know, because we're trying to streamline it, so we're kind of letting them know how we're going to do it.
So this is Gerald with Presbyterian Health Plan. I'm focused on just preparing the health plan side of our enterprise to ensure that that section is ready for the go-live. So some of our groups are interfacing with some vendors. They've started communications, and many of them are not seeing an impact because they're utilizing the HICA, Mimi_HICA to send the MBI. So that change is going to minimize some of the impact, is what I've heard.
Gotcha.
This is her facets.
We're currently on using Amethyst. I know I heard another Amethyst user. So how do you all plan on handling or preparing your member services department to be able to respond? Like, have you guys crafted a FAQ based off of, like, what CMS, the information that CMS gives us, or has anyone thought about that, how they're going to prepare the member services, like, frontline to address any concerns our members may have or questions?
This is Gerald with Presbyterian again. Our customer service center utilizes SupportPoint, and in the early discussions about generating talking points and putting materials for all the frontline staff in that SupportPoint platform, it was discovered that SupportPoint actually had information about the MBI and the HICN to MBI transition. So we decided to just minimize the amount of work for that department. So we're going to utilize the notes that are in that system, and it's sort of been divvied out for different areas of our business. So other areas that didn't have access to that data within SupportPoint are going to also use that same data. It was a pretty good summary they provided.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Carla with Community Health Plan of Washington in Seattle. I want to thank you for that information in SupportPoint. Being fairly new to the company, that helps me tremendously. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Even though that's the case for us at Presbyterian, there was still some interest in generating a one-page summary with just bullets for just some of the departments to distribute amongst their staff for awareness. So we're still looking at that right now.
This is Chelsea with Providence. I'm sure most of you have already seen this, but the CMS.gov link for partners and employers as far as the new Medicare card has all the preferred language and kind of already has some Q&A within their PowerPoint that is what I've used for our talking points so far.
Thank you.
So pivoting on that topic, as far as, you know, what is it that folks are developing for their own teams? I know, you know, one big group that Toyota called out was looking at our vendor partners, you know, and just making sure our vendors are ready, right? And like when we think about down the road, you know, the implications for universe pools and things like that. Also, you know, for your risk adjustment folks, right, there's a lot of implications on the data that they're going to need to access and making sure that everything's crosswalking properly. So a lot of cross-pollination between teams. Are folks developing or have developed, you know, work plans or checklists or, you know, has anyone set up a committee on this at all? Just curious to see how folks are really just trying to make sure that they have their arms wrapped around this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is there one individual that's, like, owning it, you know, and they're kind of on point, sure. So how are folks pushing that through?
Yeah, so this is LaToya with Paramount again. So actually, I am the chosen one. And
you're always the lucky one, LaToya.
I know. So yes, I am the project manager on this, and so obviously it entails all departments involved. I have a draft project work plan, just kind of trying to plug in a few more dates of when things are due, and then I want to plug in just the phase in from our different vendors. So what we're working on now is just making sure that we've identified all potential vendors impacted by the change. And then from there, that's why we haven't sent out communication yet, because we're going to obviously – we want to make sure that we have everyone in scope. And then from there, I think we will have a final – work plan in place, and I'll be more than happy to share it at that point. But so, yes, we do have a work plan. I've been delegating, you know, to our enrollment, our member services, our IT, and we meet regularly on Fridays.
Who's on that project team with you, LaToya? Who is it that meets every Friday? Is it a different group depending on which area you're doing?
No, so right now it's the larger group, because we're still trying to just gather notes and make sure that we've dotted our I's and crossed our T's while I develop the project work plan. So it is the larger group, and I'd say it's probably about – it's about 20 of us, maybe.
Yep.
About 20 of us.
Yep.
We have some reps from pharmacy. We have from our QI.
Yep.
Yeah. And as I mentioned before, membership, member services, IT, through our vendor dynamics, so any modules that we've purchased with them. And I don't know if anyone on the call has Dynamic as a vendor as well, but there's a lot of processes with them that's kind of helping us get a better idea of what to expect. So we have that luxury of working with them, and they've kind of helped kind of put it into perspective for us. So
that was Dynamic that's a luxury, is that right? Did I hear that right?
Yes. Dynamic Voyager.
That's great.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a pretty big group right now, but I think once we actually go live and start to receive that first file, then it'll kind of just be a matter of just maintaining it and making sure that we're getting those updates in and just monitoring those data extracts to make sure that they're receiving it correctly. I will note that from a risk adjustment perspective, that process is kind of a little different, because depending on what ID was used on the initial claim, whether it's going to be the MBI or HICN, is how they would have to submit for retro or supplemental, I'm sorry. So that's kind of going to be a little side process. So if you all haven't visited that, that is going to kind of be a little bit different. So it's important for those who mentioned that they wouldn't, they're struggling with retaining those HICNs. It's going to be really important from a risk adjustment perspective when they have to submit supplementals, because they're going to need to have access to that. So that's going to cause, that's going to warrant programming needs to be able to make sure that when they're submitting those supplemental DIAGs, they have access to that associated HICN.
But on that note, there was also, there are three areas, I think, that were allowed to maintain use of the HICN post 1/1/20. I think it was the risk adjustment, appeals and grievance, and there's another one.
Yeah, there was, you're right. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Boy, that was fantastic sharing. Thank you so much. So, project manager, big project team. Are other people handling it that same way? Is anyone else doing it differently? Is anyone bringing in an outside consultant, for example, or just giving it up, you know, different departments managing different components of it? How are other folks corralling all the pieces? I'm curious.
This is Gerald again from Presbyterian Healthline. So I set up a core team. We have about 30 people on that team. We have a couple duplicate representatives from probably three departments, but we get together, we meet weekly in a core team meeting, and those representatives are responsible for identifying the work in their area. We had an initial meeting to identify the impacts of the area, both technology and business process-wise, and then we have a weekly core team meeting to follow up on those. We, as far as the technology portion, we had about 30 software solutions or platforms that we were assessing for impact. We generated an Excel table of those, and then we're going through both business impact and IT impact, and that includes reaching out to the vendors to see if they are either upgrading or are knowledge or aware of the transition, and if there's any remediation activities that needs to be done to address that.
Thank you. So you're the project manager on it. Same similar structure, it sounds like, to what Paramount's doing.
Yeah, and we have multiple concurrent efforts happening. We're doing a facets upgrade to accommodate, and then we're also updating Market Prominence's upgrade for that to accommodate as well. And then, of course, there are a couple of downstream software platforms that are being upgraded also.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Is anyone else taking a different approach, or, again, you know, pulling in, you know, an outside support, like maybe like a Healthscape or somebody like that, to kind of help walk through these elements? Again, just wondering if there's learnings or different criteria that folks might consider as they're thinking through their own project approach. What other questions do folks have for the group? I'm checking the time, and we're just over 15 minutes out from the end of our call, and I want to be sure that folks felt like it was a good call, that they walked away with some stuff. Sometimes just having that validation, you know, that other folks are approaching it the same way that you are, is really great. So if that's what you walk away with, then I think that's wonderful. I know LaToya has already, you know, very generously volunteered that once she has her project plan to a point that she feels ready to share it, that she'll share that. So we can all look forward to that. And I do hope that folks, you know, who've stood up other things, like we mentioned at the top of the call, are willing to share those again. I think those scripts and, you know, pulling in some of the FAQ pieces that was discussed earlier, I think all of that is just really helpful fodder, right? If we don't all have to reinvent the wheel and we get to leverage one another's hard work, then that's great. But other themes or topics that folks are hoping get covered, the best way to make sure it gets covered is to raise it.
I did want to know just for a second that in the November CMS memo, there's a October 4th memo of last year, with reference to the Marks-Hicken MBI crosswalk file, and they sort of infer that in the original crosswalk, there will be we'll receive all of the membership, MBI membership. So that's what it sounds like from that communication. So that's where I think we found this. We came to that conclusion.
Yeah, thank you for highlighting that. And in fact, I think there was actually a memo that CMS just pushed out just yesterday. Did everyone see this? It was the Medicare Plan Payment Group. Jennifer Harlow's team pushed it out. It's a 21-page memo that just came out yesterday. Shelley Stevenson from Change Healthcare was kind enough to pass that along to me and make sure that I posted it. So we're getting that link up today for everybody. But has anyone already digested this and is starting to incorporate some of this information?
I have not seen that yet.
Gotcha. So, again, I'll have this posted before we adjourn here in the next 10 minutes. I think the link will be live then. But it looks like really it's got a crosswalk file layout and naming convention linked there. Yeah, lots and lots and lots of big stuff on this guy. So I think that might be helpful for folks. So I'll post that out, and hopefully it's kind of making its way through your HPMS, observing team on the health plans. I know usually that gets filtered through a few layers before it gets to the operational folks. So we'll get that posted up here in just a second. Other questions from the group? Or if people don't have more questions, what else can the Alliance do to help you all? More calls like this one. We can, certainly we brought in Shelley Stevenson from Change. She was actually the person that raised this issue for me and said, hey, I think you guys should do some calls on this. And the call we did with her a few weeks ago was a really vibrant call. So that was really good. And certainly if there's other experts, I don't know if maybe I should reach out to the team at Dynamic. I don't know if maybe we feel like they might have some knowledge or best practices to raise for Health Plan Alliance members. But any recommendations for the team or requests, I'd absolutely welcome those as well.
And Kristen, I can do that as well, ask if they have any other documents that they are willing to share.
Oh, fantastic. Thanks, Latoya. Really appreciate that.
Yep, you're welcome. Okay, so how about we make a deal? If whoever receives their file first, just let us know if they feel that they've gotten their entire population or just bits and pieces and see if we can find a rhyme or reason to it, right?
Deal.
Okay. That's a good one. I like that a lot. And that's a great one for the discussion forum. Right? I definitely encourage folks, just to say, hey, has anyone else gotten their file? We've gotten ours. And then that usually can very quickly pivot to a call. Or if you have your file and you just, say, hey, I'm willing to kind of kickstart, a discussion, then you can just reach out to me directly. And I'm happy just to schedule a call and just say, hey, one of our member plans got a file and is willing to kind of share through, how's it going and that kind of thing. So either one is completely great. And then, of course, again, you have access to the attendee list from this meeting, so you're welcome to reach out to folks individually as well. All good.
Sounds good.
Other things. Are there other things that I can be doing to help you all? My job is to support you. Are there other things I can be doing?
Hi, this is Patrick with Providence once again. One thing that we didn't touch on, I don't know if other people are aware of this or not, but there may be some downstream contractors that you work with that actually need to have that MBI Hicken crosswalk because for whatever reason, they may actually be storing it. So as you're going ahead and sending out letters to the different people that you contract with, you might go ahead and find out if they actually require that new MBI number. In other words, a copy perhaps of the crosswalk file cut down to what they would be interested in, or whether they don't need it. So
that is a great call out, Patrick. Thank you. All right. So if folks are willing to bear with me here, I'm almost to the point that we have a link live for you. And if folks are just willing to bear with me, I can actually post that link, you know, before you all exit and pop it into the discussion forum. I'm really, really, really close to getting it done. I've been multitasking a little bit over here. I'm incredibly talented at multitasking. But in the meantime, is there anyone that we haven't heard from or any additional questions or requests for the group?
I have a question. Has anybody seen any a large impact of a Medicaid side of the business due to the transition?
Another great question.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Yeah, has anybody else seen an impact to the Medicaid side of the business if you're doing both Medicare and Medicaid?
No, can't say that.
I know the issue of duals. I don't believe you guys have a duals plan, right? I think you guys do two separate programs, and you don't have a duals. Is that right, Patrick?
This is Patrick, and we do have a duals program.
Oh, that was Gerald then. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was trying to match voices
right.
and names.
Yeah, this
sorry
is Gerald.
That,
yeah,
Gerald.
We do have a SNP program. No worries.
Okay, yes, Presley does. Okay, so yes, you're going to have issues for sure. That I am not an expert on this at all, but that came up on the last call. Were you able to attend that call with Shelley, or have you heard
yes.
the recording on that?
Yeah.
Yes, I think for the duals in particular, and it may be that we could actually get a list of all the plans that have duals products and kind of get them together to see if there's any kind of specific call-outs for them. So that might be something that's worth. I can make a note for myself just to kind of reach out to the dual product owners and see if they're having to do anything in additional.
Okay.
I have a document URL. Thank you for being patient with me. Okay, so this is the memo that CMS just released yesterday. There we go. Okay. So again, that one popped out. It should be kind of making its way through your plan now, hopefully. But in the meantime, you can preview it now, and they have lots of interesting links in this 21-page memo that just popped out yesterday. And then, again, lots of links in the chat box for folks regarding this. This particular document I'm also going to put alongside these calls that we've been doing so that way folks are able to kind of get to it from these different places. But if you just go to the Knowledge Center and type in Higgins, you know, we've been trying to tag things with that.
Okay.
So we still have a few more minutes. I just want to be sure. Did anyone have any other questions for the group? If not, I'm happy to adjourn early and folks can have some time back, but want to be sure folks had that opportunity. All right, well, hearing none. Oh, was that one or was that a thank you?
It was a thank you.
Okay, checking. So then, again, when you log off at the end of the session, I know folks are already itching to hit that X button. There's a survey that pops up. It's one question. It's just one question. So let me know if this call was helpful for you or not, or if you have suggestions that you think would be more helpful. I want those. I definitely do. So, you know, our job here at the Alliance is to try to support you guys and help you connect with each other. So whatever you need to make this process easier, let me know. You can leverage that little one-question survey. And then, again, everyone is always welcome to email me directly. The staff information is all posted under the About Us of our website in case you don't have my email. And I encourage all of you to continue to leverage this network. You can start with the attendee list on these calls and use that discussion forum, and that way you're able to leverage learnings that you all gain along the way. So with that, I wish you all a wonderful afternoon, a great rest of the week, and I'm sure we'll all talk again soon on an upcoming event. Till then, have a good one, everybody. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you.